As we know, the Mishnah mentions that there are five different calamities that are associated with Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. The first and the earliest of those calamities is the Shviras Haluchos, that we have a tradition that Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai on the 17th of Tammuz. Again, as Mr. Rothenberg mentioned before, Vayaris Egel Umacholos, he saw Klal Yisrael dancing around the Egel Azov, and he smashed the first set of tablets that Klal Yisrael were given. So the Shviras Haluchos, the breaking of the tablets, is something which the first of the five calamities we commemorate today. What was so terrible about the Shviras Haluchos? All right, it's unfortunate that Klal Yisrael built the Egel, that Moshe Rabbeinu was forced to smash these tablets, but what is the tremendous calamity, or can we appreciate the depths of the calamity that we are in the course of observing today? So I wanted to speak about, between now and Ma'ariv, is to explore that topic a little bit. What exactly was it that was so terrible about the Shviras Haluchos, the breaking of those first tablets? What is it that Klal Yisrael lost by not having those first set of tablets and having instead the second tablets that replaced them? This Gemara in Erev and Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, where the Gemara quotes a pasuk. The pasuk is darshaned in a somewhat different fashion in the Parakinyan Torah, the last parak of Pirkei Avos, which we just said this Peir Shabbos. Hamichtav Michtav Elokim Hu Chorus Al Aluchos, that the engraving upon the writing upon the luchos was a divine writing, charus ala luchos, that was engraved upon the luchos. So the Gemara makes the comment in Erevin, ilmalei lo nishtabru luchos harishonos, had the first tablets not been broken, lo nishtakcha Torah miYisrael, the Torah would never be forgotten from the Jewish people. We'll explore in a little bit what exactly that means, but in general terms, something that it means is the following. The whole notion of shichachas ha-Torah, the notion that we could learn something and forget something, it could be there's one or two people here who have no idea what I'm talking about, but that's just simply because they probably forgot that they forgot. Most of us, we go to a shir, right? We have this experience. We go to a shir, we come home. How was the shir? It was unbelievable. So what did he say? It was unbelievable. So what did he say? It was so unbelievable. It's so unbelievable, I can't even tell you what he said. Right? So that whole phenomena of shichachas ha-Torah is directly traceable to the shviras haluchos. That's what the Gemara says in Erevin. In other words, were it not for the breaking of the luchos, were it not for what happened on that day, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, you come home from the shir, what did he say? And you'd be able to list it off, not only with all the Torah, but all the Ma'ar Mekamos and everything, and he quoted this, and he quoted that. On a broader scale, that also means that the national Shichachas HaTorah would also not have taken place. We know that one of the things that prompted Rabbeinu HaKadosh to write down the Mishnayos was the fact that as Klal Yisrael went through their various galuyos, it became more and more difficult to remember all of the details of the Torah Shebaal Peh. We know that the institution of machlokas in halacha, to a large extent, is an outgrowth of the phenomena of shichachas ha-Torah. In other words, the fact at one time people knew what the halacha was. At a later point in history, as people began to forget what the original halacha was, so there came about the concept of machlokas, that, you know, this rabbi says this rabbi says that. We're trying to do our best to uncover what the original halacha is, but the fact that we have to quibble and we have to argue over what the halacha actually is the direct result of Shichas HaTorah, that all comes about from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Again, why that should be, we'll try to explain in a little bit. The Gemara in Erevin also says, that same daf, Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, that ilmalei lo nishtabru luchos harishonos, had the luchos, the first luchos, not been broken, ein kol uma v'loshon sholetes bohem, no foreign nation would ever be able to dominate Klal Yisrael. So let's just put that in very, very modern terms that we can understand. Right? Every media source is reporting left and right about the incredible spike in incidence of anti-Semitism all around the world. Had the first Luchos not been broken, none of those media reports would ever come to pass. Ein kol uma v'loshen shaletis fohem. No foreign power, no foreign nation would ever be able to have dominion over Klal Yisrael. The phenomena of anti-Semitism is directly related by the Gemara to the Shviras HaLuchos, to the fact that the Luchos were broken. So as we're already seeing, just from that Gemara in Erevin, the Shviras HaLuchos wasn't just a mild tragedy, you know, something regrettable, such a shame that such beautiful Luchos had to be broken, but the phenomena of forgetting Torah, the phenomena of anti-Semitism itself. Both of those phenomena are directly traceable to what happened on Shiva Asa B'Tammuz so many years ago. So why is that? Why should these two phenomena be linked to the event of the Shviras HaLuchos? The Maral, in his Sefer Tiferes Yisrael, which is the Sefer in which the Maral speaks about issues related to the Torah, issues related to the Bechira, the choosing of Klal Yisrael, so he ties these two Gemaras in Erevin to a Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Hei Amud Aleph, where the Gemara talks about what the after effect of Kabbalas HaTorah was prior to the Chet HaEgel. And the Gemara there quotes an opinion of Chachamim. The Chachamim say, Lo kiblu Yisrael es HaTorah ela kedei shelote uma v'loshon sholetes bo. The exact same lashon which the Gemara uses in Erevin, but in reverse. When Klal Yisrael received the Torah at Har Sinai, it guaranteed that no foreign nation would ever be able to have dominion over Klal Yisrael. That's what happened when the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. And when the Luchos were broken, that special element, that special blessing which was bestowed upon Klal Yisrael, that Ein Kol Uma V'Loshon Sholetes Bohem, was taken away from the Jewish people at that time. That's the opinion of Chachamim, right? So in other words, the phenomena of anti-Semitism would have been removed had we not sinned with the Egel and not had the Luchos broken. But the Gemara there in Avodah Zarah quotes an opinion of Rabbi Yossi that goes even further than the opinion of Chachamim. Rabbi Yossi says, Lo kiblu Yisrael es HaTorah ela kedei shelo yehei malach hamoves sholeit bohem. When Klal Yisrael received the Torah at Har Sinai, says Rabbi Yossi, the Malach HaMoves stopped having power against Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael literally became eternal. They became immortal as a result of the Kabbalah HaTorah. A very similar position to Rabbi Yossi is articulated in the Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer. The Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer is the oldest of the Midrashim that we have. So, in the beginning of Perek Mem Zayin of the Pirkei de Rebbe Lezer, we're told, Rebbe Lezer ben Aruch Omer, Kishiyarat HaKadosh Baruch Hu Litein Tarasa LiYisrael, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael, Yardu Imo Shishim Ribo Shomalachei Ashores. 600,000 angels came down with the Ribono Shel Olam, Kol Osan Hayomim, Ad Shlo Osu Osa Hamaisa, from the time that the Torah was given until the Chet HaEgel, Hayu Tovim Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kamalachei Ashores. Klal Yisrael were as exalted before the Ribono Shel Olam as the Malachim, as the angels. V'lo Moshal Bohem Malach HaMoves. The Malach HaMoves had no dominion, had no control over Klal Yisrael. They didn't die. V'lo Hayu Nitzyotzim L'Nikveihem Kivnei Adam. And like angels, they had no need to ever relieve themselves. Kivon Sh'asu Oso Maisa. Once Klal Yisrael performed the Chet HaEgel, Koas Aleihem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God became angry at them. V'amar Lahem, He said to them, Sover Hayisteh Shetiyu Lefonai Kemalachei Ashores. I thought that with the giving of the Torah, you would be on the level of angels. Shenemar, and he quotes the Pasuk, which we say part of the Shir Shal Yom, Ani omarti Elohim atem. I said, says Hashem, you are like angels, you are like godly beings. Uvnei elyon kolchem. And you would be like children of the exalted children, children of the Most High. V'achshav. However, now that you've engaged in the chet ha'egel, achen ka'adun to Muslim, you'll die just like human beings. In other words, immortality was given to Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai, and immortality was taken away from Klal Yisrael with the chet ha'egel, with the shviras haluchos. Again, reflecting the opinion of Rabbi Yossi in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Right? So, says the Maharal, when Klal Yisrael achieved this state of immortality, in other words, they were like Malachim, that led to two very concrete results. Angels don't forget things. If you ever need to get something from the store, and you happen to have access to Malachim, they're the best people, they're the best beings to send out. They're not going to forget the eggs, they're not going to forget the milk. Right? Malachim don't forget. They don't have a koach hashichicha. So we were like Malachim. What does it mean that we were like Malachim? We were like Malachim. We didn't have the capability of shichicha satara, of forgetting. And ein kol uma v'lashon shalat this bohem. If we had this status as immortals, vis-a-vis the rest of the world who were simply mortal after the Kabbalah satara, so then clearly we understand no other nation, no other foreign power is ever going to start up with us, because you don't start up with a malach. It's not going to go well for you. So we had those powers after the Torah was given. The Shviras Haluchos brought us back down to earth and made us human and normal once again, and we lost those special properties which we had received at the giving of the Torah itself. The Maral Tiferes Yisrael uses this approach to explain a Gemara in Bava Kamma, which on the surface is a very difficult Gemara to understand. The bottom of Nadalot Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Shal Rabbi Chanina ben Ogil is Rabbi Chia bar Abba. Mivnei ma v'dibros horishonos v'nemar bohem tov v'dibros achronos nemar bohem tov. How come in the first set of luchos it doesn't say tov, and in the second set of luchos it does say tov? Now the truth is, the lashon that's used by the Gemara is dibros rishonos, dibros achronos, which could be seems to be a reference to the fact that the Aseres HaDibros are mentioned twice in Chumash, they're mentioned in Yisro, they're mentioned again in Parshas Vayeschanan, which we're going to be reading in a few weeks. But the Maral, together with many other Mefarshim, understands that the difference is not simply between the Dibros Rishonos and the Dibros Achronos. In other words, it's not just what was written in Yisro versus what was written in Vayeschanan, but that what was written in Yisro represents what was on the first set of Luchos, and what's written in Vayeschanan is what was written on the second set of Luchos. In other words, the minor differences between Yisro and Vayeschanan are reflected in the Luchos Rishonos and Luchos Achronos. They're not simply two presentations of what happened at Har Sinai. One's the Luchos Rishonos, one's the Luchos Achronos. So the Luchos Rishonos, it uses the word, it doesn't use the word Tov, and the Luchos Achronos it does. How come that's the case? Omar lo, so Chia bar Abba answered him, Ad sha'ato sho'alani, lomo, ne'mar bohem Tov, sho'alani im ne'mar bohem Tov, im lav. You're asking me why it only says Tov in the second Luchos, not in the first Luchos. Ask me a more basic question. Is it true that it only says Tov in the second Luchos and not in the first Luchos? She'eni yodeya im ne'mar bohem Tov im lav. Because I'm not actually sure whether or not it says Tov in the second set of Luchos. This is beyond my pay grade. K'lei chetz l'Rab Tamchun bar Chani loy. She'hoya rogi leitz l'Rab Yeshua ben Levi. She'hoya boki ba'agoda. You have to go ask somebody who knows Agoda very, very well. So go to Reb Tamchum Bar Chaniloi. He learned by Reb Yeshua ben Levi. Everybody knows Reb Yeshua ben Levi knew Agoda very, very well. So he might have an answer to this question. Azal Legabe. So he went to him. Amar Leis, or Tanchum Bar Chanilai, said back to him, Mimeru Lo Shamati, I didn't hear anything from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Lakach Amar Li Shmuel Bar Nachum Achi Imosh Rab Acha Rabbi Chanina, Ve Amri Le Avi Imosh Rab Achi Rabbi Chanina. But I did hear the following. Hoil V'Sofon L'Hishtabe. It is indeed true that it says Tov in the second set of Luchos and not in the first. And you know why? Because the second set of Luchos, because the first set of Luchos was destined to be destroyed, was destined to be broken. So the Gemara asks, okay, so the first set of Luchos was destined to be broken. So what? Why should that mean that it precludes the word Tov from being written in the first set of Luchos? So Amar Ravashi Chas V'Sholom Poska Tov Am Yisrael. If the first set of Luchos contained the word Tov, and we know that the Luchos are going to be broken, so Chas V'Sholom it would lead to Tov, to goodness, being removed from the Jewish people. Now that there's no Tov in the first Luchos, so now we can breathe easy, because Tov exists in the second set of Luchos, which were not destroyed by Moshe Rabbeinu. From beginning to end, the whole Gemara is very difficult to understand. First of all, just a very basic question. What is the Tov that's in the second Luchos that's not in the first Luchos? So, the common answer given by the Mefarshim over here is that in the midst of Kibud Av Va'eim, as presented in the second set of Luchos, it says, Laman Yitav Loch. You should be Mechabed your parents. Laman Yitav Loch, in order that it should be good for you. In other words, not the word Tov, but a derivative of the word Tov. Laman Yitav Loch, that should be good for you, is contained in the second set of Luchos. There is no parallel phrase in the first Luchos. It doesn't say Laman Yitav Loch by Kibud Av Va'eim in the first Luchos. There's an interesting comment to the Baal HaTurim. Only the Baal HaTurim could say something like this. The Baal HaTurim, in Parshas Vayeschanan, points out that there are exactly 17 words by the Luchos Shnios above and beyond the Luchos Rishonos. In other words, if you count up the number of words in the Aseres HaDibros in Yisrael, and then you count up the number of words in the Aseres HaDibros in Vayeschanan, so Vayeschanan has 17 extra words. I didn't check. You can go and check. We still have 5 minutes tonight if you can check in those 5 minutes. So there's 17 extra words in the Aseres HaDibros in Vayeschanan. 17 b'gematria is Tov. So writes the Baal HaTurim, so that's Tov by the Luchos Shnios, not just the word Laman Yitav Loch, but the 17 extra words representing Tov, which are the Luchos Shnios, which don't appear in the Luchos Rishonos. Okay, very good. So it does say Tov in the Luchos Shnios, not in the Luchos Rishonos. But what does that mean? The Gemara says that if it would have said Tov in the Luchos Rishonos, they were broken, it would have meant bad things for Klal Yisrael. What exactly is meant by all of that? So the Maral says Tov means something which is not only good, but which is appropriate. The first Luchos were not even really appropriate for this world. The first Luchos represented a stature that Klal Yisrael had that was like the Malachim, as we said before. The first Luchos represented the notion that Klal Yisrael had become like Malachim by Matan Torah, and in that sense they were not this worldly. The first Luchos, they were otherworldly. For this world, they weren't really Tov. They weren't really appropriate. They were beyond this world. They were better than good. They were something that belonged to the realms of Olam Haba, says the Maharal. And we shouldn't think that had Tov been written into those Luchos, that once those Luchos of Olam Haba were broken, that we lost everything. We may have lost that status of being Malachim, but we still have all of the wonderful things which are associated with the second set of Luchos. So those are appropriate for this world, for Olam Hazeh. We may not be Malachim, we may forget Torah, we may be subject to anti-Semitism, but it's still very, very much the case that we benefit from the Luchos and the Dibros and the Torah being given to us. We may not have the same exalted stature that we had before the Chet HaEgel, but we shouldn't feel that we've lost everything. That's the message of this Gemara, says the Maharal. The Maharal, as we pointed out, understands that both the fact that Shichachat HaTorah came into existence because of the breaking of the Luchos, and that anti-Semitism came into the world through the breaking of the Luchos, both of those things relate to the fact that we had an angelic status prior to the Maisa HaEgel, and with the Chet HaEgel we lost that angelic status. There is, I think, another way of understanding these two statements in Erevin, that Shichachas HaTorah came into the world because of the breaking of the Luchos, and that our ability to be subjugated to other nations came into the world because of the Shviras HaLuchos. There's another very pithy comment made by one of the Mefarshim on the Gemara in Erevin, which I think can help cast both of these statements in a different light. The Sefer Melo HaRoim, which is printed in the back of the Gemara, writes that the reason that we forget Torah after the Shviras HaLuchos is because the Shviras HaLuchos, the breaking of the Luchos, led to our going into Golos. And once we go into Golos, that state of being persecuted inevitably leads to the forgetting of Torah on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Again, as we referenced before, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who felt compelled to write down the Mishnayos because of the many persecutions inhibits our ability to really be able to concentrate in learning on the way in which we really should and we really ought to. Shichachas HaTorah is a direct result of the Golos, and the Golos is a direct result of the Shviras HaLuchos. Although he doesn't say it, the comment of the Melo HaRoim certainly fits in well with the second thing the Gemara says in Erevin, that the Shviras HaLuchos leads to the fact that foreign nations are able to subjugate us, because the Shviras HaLuchos, according to the Melo HaRoim, sets the stage for our going into Golos. Our going into Golos leads to Shichachas HaTorah. Our going into Golos leads to Kol Uma V'Loshem Shalet Yisroel, the fact that other nations have the ability to overpower us, to subjugate us, to subject us to anti-Semitism. Understood in this way, what's so terrible about the Shviras HaLuchos is that it's the first step towards Golos. And how sadly appropriate is it, therefore, that the 3 weeks, the period of Golos, the period on the Jewish calendar that speaks to Golos most directly, starts off with the Shviras HaLuchos, with Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, because it was that act that showed that the Jewish people couldn't keep it together for even 40 days after Matan Torah. It was that act which set the ground, that set the cornerstone for what eventually would blossom, unfortunately, into the Golos which we still find ourselves in today, with all of the results that the Gemara in Erevin speaks about. So we're commemorating the Shviras HaLuchos today and realizing that part of what Shiva Asar B'Tammuz brings into the world is anti-Semitism and Shichachas HaTorah, a way to take something positive away from the experience of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is to resolve ourselves to do whatever we can do in our power to try to counteract these different things. On the level of anti-Semitism, to certainly do whatever hishpadlus we can to try to combat anti-Semitism, and on the level of Shichachas HaTorah, although we know we're not going to be ultimately successful, because that's part of the klala of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, but to do whatever we can to chazer, to review, to make sure that we try to make a kinyan, an acquisition on Torah as much as possible, so we can get to that point where, at the very least, hopefully this year, when you go home tonight, and the question will be posed, so what was spoken about, at least one or two things we should be able to remember from the Shia. Okay, Rav Chanan ben Akasha Omer,